Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So here we go again.
You intro every single frickin' podcast by going, oh, here we go again.
Do you think Jess Wright will remember me?
Do I think Jess Wright will remember you?
Yeah.
You've never met her?
I have met her, actually. We met at a BlackBerry party.
You met Jess Wright at a BlackBerry party?
Yeah, when they were launching one of the new BlackBerries. They gave me one of the new BlackBerries back then. That's how long ago it was.
How do you remember meeting Jess Wright at a BlackBerry party?
Because, and do you know who was playing at the BlackBerry party? Was it Sketch?
Oh, let me guess who was playing.
Avril Lavigne. Jesse J. Oh. Jesse J. Jesse J.
I heard you. I heard you the third time.
And she's huge in China now, Jesse J.
She is, because she did the version of The Voice in China. That's why.
But I felt very sorry for Jesse J because it was very hot in the room because there was so many people in that back room at Sketch. And she got very sweaty.
She did?
Yeah.
Did you shout to, hey Jesse J, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it's so hot. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, but she just got on with the show. I liked that.
Yeah, what was she going to do? Quit? Stop? Sorry, guys, it's too hot in here. I'm not going to do...
Outfit change. I don't know.
But you met Jess Wright at this party.
Yeah, and who was the other one? Chloe?
Chloe Sims?
Yeah, Chloe Sims. I met her there as well.
What did you say to each other?
Oh, we were just, you know, chat. This was like the first season, I think. This was sort of 2011.
Did you say, hey, look, I'm on a reality TV show. You're on a reality TV show. We should probably be friends.
I said, look, guys, I know you guys actually aired before us, but we made a pilot last year, so we actually did predate you guys.
So you went straight up to this. You went straight up to Jess Wright, who you'd never met before, and Chloe.
I just wanted to clear this up, guys. The idea of Maiden Shines was conceived before.
But you don't even know when the pilot of The Only Way Is Essex began.
Yes, I do. It was actually a big... Yes, I do, because we, in fact...
Copied them.
We poached Sarah Dillaston from it, right? So we basically did the pilot. They filmed their pilot and did their first episode, and then we poached Sarah Dillaston.
Yeah, but I think we poached Sarah Dillaston to do the first series of Made
yes,
in Chelsea.
No, but we'd already done the pilot the year before, so it was actually...
So when did The Only Way Is Essex do the pilot?
They got commissioned a lot faster. That was why they actually got commissioned and then basically started shooting like really, really, really quickly.
Yeah. You should sure about that?
Yeah. I would put money on it that we, because we filmed our pilot in like the summer of, well, sort of like
summer of 69,
late summer of 2010.
Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit and Francis got angry. You like how I added your name in there?
Yeah, Jimmy. Actually, do you know my Jimmy was the name of my lion, my pet lion.
When did you have a pet lion?
Growing up.
I think you're lying.
That was funny.
All right, everybody, listen, we have a wonderful episode for you today on Private Parts. We have the lovely, the gorgeous...
No, it's a stuffed animal lion, obviously, but it's not a real lion.
All right.
But Amy was, actually, I still got him.
Sweet.
Still got Jimmy. He's
you still got Jimmy the lion? Where is Jimmy right now?
Right now, Jimmy is in my storage unit.
Which is...
He's obviously got to keep him, locked up. If he gets out, he'll attack people. I don't want to be responsible for his carnage.
Right, everybody, we have a wonderful episode for you today. We have the lovely, the gorgeous, the glorious Jess Wright. Jess Wright is an old friend of mine. She is obviously an old
friend of mine.
She's an old friend of Francis's too. A real old friend. She'll probably remember you. I can't wait for that awkward chat when you'll say, hey, do you remember when we first met? And I argued with you.
No, I didn't argue with them.
Okay, well.
I just made myself... Clear.
All right, well, I think we've waffled on enough. Right, Francis, why don't you intro the podcast?
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the
there
only.
There he is again. Always the same, the one, the only.
Mark Wright's sister, Jess Wright. Oh, wait, no, that's probably a bit rude. We can't... She's sorry.
Start it again. Go on.
Jess.
No,
Wright.
Why don't you intro her properly again? Go on. Here.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves. Take a seat. Recline yourselves.
What is it? They're jogging. What is it? They're jogging.
Then recline, but don't fall back on your ass. Listen to this podcast featuring Towie's very own Jess Wright.
Enjoy.
Star of The Only Way Is Essex. And yeah. What was the name of her band?
Lola.
Lola. Star of popular girl band Lola.
All right. We're gonna let the listeners listen to it now?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So why don't you just intro it? Just brief like that. Go on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jess Wright.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
You know, I'm at a disadvantage straight away, Jess, because you probably come from the most manly, like your brothers and like your dad, they are so like they're men. They're men, aren't they?
Do you really fancy them or something, Jamie?
It's a very alpha male family, that's for sure. Their way or the highway.
Has it always been that? I'm so sure that the girls would lead your family. I'm sure you and your mum would lead the family.
Because we've grown up with men that are very, yeah, like kind of boisterous and competitive and everything else, we've kind of had to become strong. So actually, we do rule the roost. But the men kind of like to think they do. And they are, yeah, absolute alpha males, very manly and everything else. But they have got their soft sides, like... Funny, actually, we were like looking at wedding videos the other day and like they both cried on their wedding day and stuff. So like when, you know, the important bits anyway. So they have got their soft sides, but yeah.
Well, I love that. At the bad bits, they were crying before. What am I doing? Oh, my God.
Basically.
There's nothing wrong with crying. I think that there's nothing not alpha male about crying. I think crying is just actually being aware of your humanity and emotions. And they've actually shown now that when you cry, your tears actually contain cortisol. So actually you're removing cortisol from your body and actually there's a sort of physiological de-stressing mechanism of crying.
That's why they say have a good cry, let it all out.
Yeah, exactly. Because mm-hmm. It genuinely works at relieving stress.
Really? I actually didn't really know that.
I think that's total crap.
No, it is true.
It doesn't. When I cry, I'm also one of those people who like a really ugly crier. When I cry, my bottom lip starts to like wiggle and do that, so it's one of the worst things. Hey, right, before we kick things off...
How have you seen yourself crying?
Because I cry and look in the mirror when I'm doing it, that's why.
Or on TV. Have you cried on Made in Chelsea?
I've never cried on Made in Chelsea.
Have you not? That's quite an achievement.
I don't think anyone's ever done anything to me to make me cry.
He's always the ones making all the girls cry, these poor girls.
I know people
girls.
At home won't be able to see her, but this is my dog, Bella.
Bella!
So say hi, she can't hear you.
People watch us on YouTube as well.
Oh, yeah,
so.
There you go. Everyone loves Bella, so there she
right,
is.
Right, Jess, before we kick things off, I got to intro you. So hello, everyone. Welcome to Private
Haven't
Parts.
We kicked things off already?
Yeah, well, I'm doing the intro, aren't I, Francis? This is the whole point of the podcast. You've done 170-odd episodes. You should know how to do it.
Yeah,
right?
I know, but we've already kicked things off. Now you do the intro.
Yeah, but look, we could be talking to any Jess. Could be talking to Jessica Simpson. You know,
you wish.
No, I would prefer you, Jess, than Jessica Simpson.
Thanks.
100%.
Much better.
Aww, hello, everyone. Cute. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate sort of details of our lives in the studio on Zoom. It's not Jessica Simpson. It's Jess Wright.
The much better Jessica, that's for sure.
Much
no.
better Jessica. Jess, we ask everyone the same thing. You've probably been asked all the time. How's lockdown been for you? Been all right?
Oh, God. It's had its ups and downs, that's for sure. I think anyone that says they've loved every second of it would be lying or mad. It's been all right. Like the other day I was listing the positives that have come out of this lockdown and like there's so many that actually I am
is
quite...
that your highlighter in your hand that you've been highlighting all the positives? You're just holding a highlighter.
My highlighter.
This is my...
No, it's a lip balm. Yeah, it's this. No,
Jamie, you should know that.
Wait, yeah. So what are the positives that come out?
Like things like I have no hair extensions in, which is really, really ridiculous and pathetic, but I haven't not had hair extensions for about 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I have none in. My hair's really grown. It's got really thick. I have no nails on. Haven't had any nails on like this for ages. Little things that like I kind of felt like I needed to do one day, but I never would have got round to doing. And it sounds really stupid and superficial, but a lot of girls out there will hear me.
Yeah, yeah.
And like just everything. Like I've been doing puzzles. My garden looks amazing. I've put pictures up on the wall. I've painted a wall, which I've never really done before properly.
You painted a wall?
What, the whole wall?
The whole hallway and stairwell.
Liar. Just right, you're lying.
Swear to God.
You're lying.
I swear to God, I did it with my partner, but like very much an equal thing. And then I, on my own, put like 8 pictures up on the same wall with a drill, with like everything you need to put. Honestly, like I've impressed myself. So I feel like the good things that have come out of this whole thing are like stuff that I've done that I know I wouldn't have done had it have not happened. Obviously, it's tragic what's happened. And
yeah, for sure. But I suppose that's also really like, that's a really good thing. Because
for some people, it's been like a blessing. Other people, it's obviously completely fucked.
Yeah. Right?
So it's a very uneven distribution of good and bad
luck. Yeah, I've just been finding the positives, but then don't get me wrong. I've had,
like life, really.
I've had breakdowns. Like, I reckon I've had like 4 or 5 breakdowns.
What about? Go on, give it to us.
4 or 5 breakdowns?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've been driving a lot. You should get a new car, man.
Yeah, come on, Jess. No, so what are the breakdowns? We want to hear them. Give us the details.
Planning a wedding in lockdown, I think that's the main source. And then like, so that's one. And then I think the other was, you know, the day when Boris announced that he was extending the lockdown for 3 more weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. After it was meant to start, it was only meant to be 3 weeks.
Yeah, so like that was the pinnacle for me. And then I was like, no, no. And I just went into rejection mode and I just had a massive spat in my house. And my partner was like, okay, calm down. I was like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm bored. And like, you guys are in this like same industry. And for us, work is about being out and being at places. And like a lot of our work is away from home. So, and we can't be furloughed. Like, so it has been a case, like I was just like another 3 weeks of trying to find stuff to do, trying to be productive, trying to get through every day, counting down the hours, which is quite sad. But obviously first world problems.
I totally agree with you, man, because like, I was exactly...
Jamie actually furloughed himself.
I did not furlough myself.
He's just been doing this podcast.
No, I did not. I did not furlough myself. Francis keeps trying to get me in trouble with like the government by saying things that I've done. Trying to get me arrested. He's trying to get me arrested. I did not.
Hey, it's unenforceable, Jamie.
No, I did not furlough myself ever. I wouldn't do that. But I totally agree with you, Jess, is that I was at the beginning, I was kind of like, okay, cool. This is kind of relaxed and chilled and things like that. But then I got to that point where I was like, Jesus. And then I've just got to recently where I'm just like, oh my God. Because you're right. Our industry is tough. Okay, all right, we have a tough industry and we work hard and it's really emotional, but it is tough because there aren't all jobs stop and marketing stops and production stops and all those different things.
Yeah.
So you kind of go, well, what do you do with your time? And then you have to find other things to do with your time, like painting a wall or something like that.
So what have you done with your time, Jamie? Apart from adopting a dog and then giving it to your mum.
I did not.
What?
Jess, do not believe him. I did not
what
do
dog?
That.
A lockdown dog.
I didn't get a lockdown dog, okay? What, Jess?
Dogs aren't just for lockdown.
He said it wasn't cute enough anymore.
Jess sent me a message. What's your dog called again, Jess? Bella?
Bella.
Jess sent me a message when I got my dog and she said, don't get a dog. I regret getting Bella.
Oh my God.
I thought it was your mum's dog.
That's what you said.
Such a liar.
She did. She sent me that
Can
message.
Can you just clarify that you are lying because everyone knows how much I love my dog?
And I replied to Jess and I went, Jess, right, that is so mean. Why would you say that about your dog? And she replied saying, to be honest, I hate animals. And
I went, oh my God, I hate you.
And
okay,
I went,
as if.
No, what happened with our...
Stop trying to deflect. You actually got a dog and gave it back.
No, that's not what
happened. No, you gave it to his mum.
No, I didn't give it to my mum. I was down at my mum's house and my mum wanted to get a dog and I thought, oh, it'd be fun to get a dog as well. So my mum and I went and picked up a dog together and we went and got the dog together and then I looked after it for 2 weeks while we were in the countryside. Then I went back to London and left the dog down there. That is not... getting a dog and abandoning it, I would never do.
You forgot it.
I did not forget it. I just didn't take it to London with me.
Okay, so your mum now has the dog. That's fine.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. That's exactly
it. We'll let you off.
It's probably for the best, to be honest.
I was going to say.
But Jess,
I'll be calling RSPCA on you now.
Well, you're not. Listen, I'll call them first on you. Why, Jess? Why are you hitting your dog? Don't hit Bella. You just. Cruel. Hey, Jess, listen, you and I have been buddies for a while now, mm-hmm. and probably everyone mostly knows you from a little TV show called The Only Way is Essex, right? So all of our listeners who don't know. Do you sometimes think that, because I do this a lot of the time, do you sometimes think what would have been different about life if you hadn't gone and done the TV show?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I really do. Because and then that makes me think that, like, everyone's got their path in life. But I don't know how mine would be different, because I was always, obviously I did my business degree and stuff, and then I was working in marketing, but I actually quit that job because all I wanted to do was sing and perform. So I feel like I wouldn't have given up, and I would have tried to go down that route anyway eventually. So it would have been like maybe drama school, even though I went to uni instead, but I might have gone back to that and then like somehow got into the industry, not necessarily this industry, but like either theatre or something like that, because that was what I loved and I just knew I was never going to give up. And I was thinking about it the other day, so I don't know, but then at the same time...
Musical theatre, musical yeah. theatre.
Jess is so good at singing.
Have you ever sung a duet with Arge?
Do you know what? I actually did once on TV for... we did Last Christmas and we released it for charity and we had to sing it together. But other than not really, no. We've got different kind of styles.
Yeah, what would you say his style is?
Arge is, you know what, Arge is good crack. He's like, he's very much sort of wedding band, all the old classics, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Sinatra.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, he thinks he's Sinatra. So, yeah, he's that style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But Jess, Francis, honestly, Jess, you've got an amazing voice.
I don't know about amazing.
No,
thank
you. It 100% is, and you're downplaying yourself.
Thank you.
It really is freaking amazing. But it's, yeah, because that's that thing, right?
Can you give us sing us a verse?
No.
No?
No.
Jess,
you have to come and see me on tour. I'm going on tour with them.
Are you going on tour? Well, let's promote your tour.
Okay, it's called Girls Just Want to Have Fun, which is like the most apt name that
Cyndi Lauper.
I could ever be in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's had to be postponed, of course, because of COVID. So it's going to be next year. There's one in the spring and one in the autumn. So, yeah.
Wait, hang on.
Good. Well, I can't wait to come.
Hang on. We're only going to put that in, but you have to do the scale. So,
What scale is that Jamie?
You did it for me. There you go.
Do you know what is so funny? This always happens with performers, is that...
We don't like being put on the spot.
Yeah, you don't. And you do. You have an amazing voice, but it's weirdly, most of the time, it's the kind of shy... Because you're not shy at all, Jess. You're actually shy. But I think when it comes to performing, perhaps you are shy. But yet you're so good. So it's such it's such a juxtaposition, right, between the two, because you have to get on stage, you have to sing in front of all these people, and you get shy about it, but yet you still do it. So how do you get that confidence suddenly when you go on the stage, but yet you're shy about doing it?
Good question, and I don't know the answer still, to the point where I was considering therapy for it, because...
Really?
Yeah, like my stage fright has been so bad in the past. And even though I grew up, I went to stage school growing up. For 15 years, I was on stage. Like every year I think it was a week long stint. And then like the end of the year, we'd do it again. And this show was massive. There'd be like, I'd do like 16 numbers in one show, and it was singing, dancing, acting, everything. So I don't know why, what went from me being fine then to then growing up, and all of a sudden I just like lost my shit. I went for an audition. I actually went on to another podcast recently and told this story, so I won't repeat myself, but
do repeat yourself. Our podcast is better, don't worry.
I just basically went to a audition, and I just, no words would come out, and then he was like, he seemed like he really wanted me to do well, and so he sent me out the room and asked me to come back in, and I did it, and then I came back in, and again nothing would come out, and I ended up leaving the audition and just like not not even doing it, which was ridiculous, but I physically couldn't do it. And I think ever since then, that's what's killed my kind of confidence when it comes to being on stage. But it's not all the time, it's just sometimes. But I am really growing in that area, and since I've got Girls Just Want to Have Fun and we've been doing rehearsals and stuff, I've really come out of my shell and actually like been so proud of how I've kind of been tackling it. So
it's probably the best thing for it as well, is just to put yourself out of your comfort zone, put yourself on stage and just get that stage time under your belt.
Yeah.
It will become more and more natural.
Basically, that's exactly it.
Was it basically like a slight panic attack? Was it like, what was it, do you think?
I have had like that as well. I did a showcase last year in London with one of my good friends, Dwayne. We sing together a lot. And before I went on, I was like hyperventilating a little bit. And I was just like, but I've really learned to kind of be like, Jess, calm down and control it. Whereas before I would have just been really dramatic and like made sure everyone around me knew so that they could give me the attention I needed that would then calm me down. Like they would calm me down. But yeah, it's a funny old thing, but there is therapy for it. Like there you can have therapy for it.
That's really hard. It totally is a real thing because I honestly went and did this thing called the Comedy Roast Battle, which is like
God.
It was honestly.
Did they roast you?
He got roasted.
See, comedy on stage. You know, I said earlier, public speaking. I said to you, James, earlier, comedy would be my worst nightmare in the world.
Go. Francis does some stand up, and I got jealous, so I copied him. I copied him, and I
of course
and my
you
first
did.
Yeah, of course, my first one went well. Second, I've spoken this before, but second one, Jess. It was the most awful thing. I can't even. The only way to describe it is you know when you're telling a joke at a dinner party, and or you're telling a story at a dinner party, and you realise that your story isn't funny and no one's really listening.
Yeah. Imagine and then you that. Carry it on even more because you think if I just divulge, then they'll find it funny. And it's like, no, it's just getting boring now.
Imagine that for 10 minutes in front of 400 people.
I would die.
It was horrendous.
Like, I don't know how, Francis, you do stand up. For me, it would be the most scariest thing because I don't think I'm not that funny. Like, I can be really funny, but I'm not a typical punchline. I'll always get the punchline wrong, or the timing's shocking and I'll hold my hands up. That's just me. I'm good crack. I'm really good fun. But when it comes to like telling jokes, it's just not my bag. And that's fine.
Well, if that's the case, it would probably be the best way to get over your stage fright, right? If you bomb in front of like loads of people that you don't know, and you realize that actually the worst thing that can happens, it kind of has to happen, and you know, once it happens, you know, you realize it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And actually it gives you a thicker skin, I think, because ultimately it's like you're working on your material, right? That's what the focus is on, is developing that rather than you know, impressing a group of people. You want them to laugh, but it's part of the process.
But like even remembering all the lines and like then incorporating that into the timing. Oh my God.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's like
playing a piano in many ways, but like the audience are the keys.
Are you selling yourself as a mentor for Jess? Is that what you're trying to do? You go like, hey, listen.
No, I'm just saying, like being on stage and talking and I think there is nothing like it at helping one stage fright. There are actually things you don't have to do stand up. You can go and just like get on stage and talk, which probably for you sounds like your worst
nightmare. What would you
nightmare,
do?
Would but
you
probably be really good for you.
Mean, you just go on stage at like what? You just walk onto a random theatre stage and start talking. What do you mean?
Yeah, you
this
basically
is my
just go
tour
on
that
and
I'm
you,
doing. And I'm just and talking talk. On.
Do you mean like public speaking?
Well, no, it's like an open mic, but people go on and they rather than doing anything, there's no expectation to be funny. You just go on and talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Oh no, not for me.
But
not
Jess,
me.
I reckon because you've done Only Wears Less and things like you're very good at improv.
Yeah, totally. And I love acting. Like, that's one of the main things about the show that I'm loving doing as well. Girls just want to have fun. But then I'm playing a different character. I'm not playing myself. So I think the thought of me going up there and being judged for like not being funny or whatever is where I would just be like horrendous. But give me an acting role and I'll go up there in front of anyone.
Jamie doesn't have any acting roles to give out.
Yeah,
I apologise.
I don't have any acting roles, but I can act myself. I can... God, can I act?
No, she asked you to give her an acting role, but...
What do you mean I'll give Jess one of my acting roles that I have out there? What are you talking about? No.
Yeah, I was just saying, Jess, he doesn't have any.
No. You watch this space, though. He'll probably try to do that next.
Yeah, I will. And like, listen, hey, my American accent's far better than yours, Jess. So here we go.
There is no way anyone beats me at the American accent. Mine is so freaking good.
Oh,
you will never beat it.
Oh my God, what are you talking about? Like my American accent. So listen, you don't even know because when you're American, you have to kind of be a bit softer. When you're trying to, softer. Well, you're just quite a bit Irish there, softer. When you have to be American, you have to talk in like a...
Talking like
talk in like an Irish accent. Francis is quite good. Do your American accent, Francis. Here we go. Go on. This is your...
Well, I could do various different...
Oh, I'd love to hear this. Go on. Do like Texas or something, like Southern.
Did you just say I can do various...
I can do a Texan accent.
Do it.
No problem there, Jess, right?
That's quite good.
Jess, but Kate, hold on.
Because I'm a Southern boy.
Give me a milk in a dirty glass.
Yeah, that was... Sounded quite sexy when you did it. Getting milk in a dirty glass. What is that from a movie?
No, it's the sketch that my granddad used to play with us all the time. He had these shutter doors in his kitchen and we used to have to walk through the doors and do it in the American accent, pretending we're entering a saloon and say, give me a milk in a dirty glass, but without laughing. And I could never do it. I always laughed. So yeah.
So you've been performing for your family since you were
a kid. I've been
a
performing monkey ever since I was born. Yeah, yeah. Basically.
But Jess, hold on, I want to work this out. So like psychologically, right, it's like an odd thing because normally what people would say is that they would be more comfortable to act themselves on stage. But what you're saying is you find it more comfortable to act someone else on stage. But why do you think that is?
Don't know. Good question for a therapist. No idea. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe I just clearly feel like if I'm playing a role, then I don't know.
But if we were going to go...
You can suspend disbelief and it's not you, right? So I guess...
But I can't mess up because if I mess up, it's the character messing up, not me. I don't know.
I think that's exactly the point because I get it as well because I think sometimes I feel more comfortable being... That's why I loved acting at university and school and things like that because I love going into different roles because exactly that. If the character messed up, it was the character, it wasn't me. And actually, you feel, all of us as individuals feel insecure and worried about who we are. But when we get to play someone else, we get to be someone else and we get to pretend someone else. And actually, we can't be judged for it.
Yeah. What do you guys think you would be doing if you weren't doing this?
I would still be doing entrepreneurship. I mean, I kind of only did the show to help further that. So I guess it was... Yes, still be doing the same thing. Probably doing a lot of the same stuff.
Jess, I have no idea in the world what I would be
doing. Do you think you'd be doing Candy Kittens?
I think that I would probably have given it a go. And I think that, I don't know if it would have done as well. Because actually, you know, what the show gave me with this huge platform. You know, when you started doing The Only Way Is Essex, right? You guys were so famous. It was...
Yeah, I think it was the first of its kind, wasn't it? At that time, other than like I think Jersey Shore.
Yeah,
and then it just went mad. And I think the fact that like Towie was so kind of, I'm not going to say controversial, but more like kind of extraordinary. The characters, the people, like the Vajazzles, the spray tans, like the relationships that were just crazy and like constantly toxic.
It was a window into a world that like most people had never seen before.
Yeah, but to us it was normal. But obviously, I always say this lightly because in Towie there are so many different characters and so many different families that actually we're not all the same. Like,
yeah,
everyone's been brought up in their own ways, and we all kind of added to the show. But yeah, like it was mad. Like I'd never like had any idea that it was going to be that big. I don't think anyone did.
Because it was so big. But did you have the same thing at the beginning where you were umming and ahhing about doing it? Or were you kind of like...
No, so honestly, it was a no-brainer for me because I was in a girl band and I was convinced that this was going to give us the leverage and the because I'd quit my job 6 months before to pursue that whole kind of like singing, and I wanted to be in a girl band. Ever since the Spice Girls, I was like, that is what I want to do, Mum. That is what I'm going to do. So I think when the opportunity came along, Mark actually said to me, they want to follow your girl band and your journey. So I was like, oh my God, insane.
What was the girl band called?
Lola.
Was it?
Lola. Yeah, but we didn't end up getting signed, but we went down that whole path of like Universal Music. We recorded a song, we performed it. We performed in front of like 22,000 people at T4 Stars. Do you remember T4?
Yeah.
Like in November, and Towie had only begun, I think, in the September. So like 2 months later, we're performing to 22,000 people. It was so surreal. Like we were the new upcoming stars. So like we were amongst like, I mean, Ollie was there, Ollie Mers, it was the Saturdays, like all the, you know, the people that were already out. But we didn't get signed, and then I entered the second series, and then I actually got a record deal on my own. But yeah, it was crazy. Like we never, ever thought it was going to be like that.
Mm. And what did you think when you heard about this new show called Made in Chelsea coming on?
Well, at first I was like, what? Like, no. Like, they can't tread on our toes. They're copying us. And then, like, I started watching it and I was like, fucking love this show. And I've literally watched it ever since, I think, probably like the fourth series or something. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
But, Frances, if we're totally honest, she never liked you. Jess has always thought you were a bit of a freak. So,
no, hey, that's not, fine.
Francis, I've always loved you. Trust me, I've always thought you're fab and so.
Not true. Not true. When Jess sent me the message about Bella, she also said, "Oh, by the way, I hate that Francis bloke as well." That's what
I did.
Right, Jess, we got to
that's
that.
All right.
We got to that moment in the podcast where Francis, we need to have the question of the week.
Ah, yes. All right, you ready?
Oh, we're ready, buddy.
How much water do you save a year by peeing in your shower?
I pee in the shower? Is that what you're asking me?
No, I'm just saying.
Jess,
I don't know
Jess,
if you do. I'm not making any suggestions, or rumors.
That's not the best. But if you're about to say that you don't pee in the shower, we know you're lying because everyone does. As soon as that hot water hits you, you can't do anything else but need to pee.
Okay, I'll say this. I'll say this. I don't actively pee in the shower. I will normally try and pee before I get in the shower, as normal people do. If I get in the shower unannounced and it like just suddenly comes over me, I generally probably wouldn't step out of the shower to go and pee on the toilet.
But you actively shit in the bath, so.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, who doesn't? Since day one.
When you've got the choice, I mean, yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But the answer to the question, Jess, what do you think it is?
Oh, I have no idea. Gallons.
Okay, you've got to guess. I'll just give you a hint. It's in litres.
It's in litres. Okay, cool.
This is going to be a wild guess. I'm going to say 20 litres.
I was going to say 18, but now I feel like it's a lot more.
No, I go for 18, Jess. Don't copy
right,
what
18 I 18 litres.
All right, well, we're going to find out in part two. Hey, Jess Wright, you've got to stick around for part two. So are you going to be here for part two? You're not going anywhere, are you?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we'll see you on part two. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com